Hey everybody. I know it's been a hot minute since I have recorded a podcast. It's been a while. I've been a little busy, since my last podcast, I have had my son. He is doing great. He is a whopping 7 pounds and 9 ounces as of the last time I went to the doctor. So he's doing pretty good. He's asleep right now with my husband, so that's also a good thing. So I know that, like I said, I know that it's been a while since I recorded a podcast. So what I wanted to talk about today was actually my birthing story. Because there were so many things that just like fell into place perfectly, and God just he sustained us the whole way, and I can't imagine how people do things without him. So I'll just get into it. We went for my Well, let me back up a little bit. So, the week before I went to my bi-weekly appointment, I was really swollen, like my legs, my ankles, my feet. Oh my gosh, my feet were so swollen. It was so bad. And I was having, my blood pressure was a little high. So I went to the doctor and she's like, yeah, maybe it's like a fluke. We'll come back next week and we'll check it again. Well, I get to my biweekly appointment that next Friday, and this is after the day before I had told the girls that I work with, because it was the NHS ceremony. We took a picture with my sister because she got inducted, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I am so swollen. Like I look like the freaking Michelin man. And like you could see in the picture, my watch is like extremely tight on my wrist, and it's like bulging over my skin is like bulging over my, what's it called? My watch is, it looks so bad. And I was telling the girls, I was like, y'all are fake. Like, how come y'all didn't tell me that I look so freaking fat, like so swollen? They're like, well, you're pregnant, it's normal. And I'm like, yeah, And so the next day when I went to my appointment, it was funny because that morning we got up and we had so many things that we were gonna do that day, and Matt was like, well, your appointments only take like 5 minutes, so we'll be home and we can do this and this, whatever, and these people are coming to check on our floors and all this kind of stuff. And so we get to the appointment and she takes my blood pressure and it's 200 over 116. If you know anything about blood pressure, you know that that is not good. So, especially being pregnant. So she's like, are you nervous? And I was like, no, I'm not nervous. She's like, okay, we'll lay on your side and then we're gonna recheck it. So I laid on my side, and she came in a little while later and she was like, she checked it, but she did it manually. And she just like took the cuff off and like went to walk out. And I was like, is it better? And she was like, a little bit, but it's still pretty high. She's like, I'm gonna let the doctor know. So she comes in, the doctor comes in, and she's like, we're gonna have to do a 24-hour watch on you because your blood pressure is extremely high. So they sent me to the hospital there in Hobbs, and I did a 24-hour, whatever you want to call it. My blood pressure had went down, but I wasn't doing anything. I was just laying in bed. So I was I they were gonna let me go home, and this was after the 24 hours. They were gonna let me go home, and I got up and I started walking, and my blood pressure shot up again. And the doctor came in, he was like, what happened? Everything was looking good, and now it's not good at all. And you know, and all the nurses rush in, and they started giving me, like, you know, they're putting a catheter in, they're starting me on a magnesium drip, they're, he's doing a sonogram to see if my baby's head is head down, because he's like, we're going to initiate a transfer to Lubbock because we don't have a NICU here, and you're going to have a baby within the next couple of days. So you can imagine I was a basket case. And I remember sitting there, and after they all had walked out and everything kind of like died down a little bit, I remember sitting there and I'm a mess, you know? And I was just, I just hear this thought just comes across my mind, and it was like, do you trust me? And I said, yes, God, but I'm scared. I'm scared. And I think that's a valid response, because we don't always have it together, and you can be scared and trust God at the same time, because things are scary, and especially when they're unexpected, you know. So there I was, and then we had to wait like another like night, I guess. And then the next day they were like, okay, they're gonna come and get you, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, am I going by ambulance? And they were like, no, you're going by air. And I was like, dang it. If you know me, you know I hate to fly. I do not like to fly at all. I don't know why. It's just something that I just don't like to do. So they tell me that they're going to take me by air. And guess what happens? My blood pressure shoots up one more time. So, and I'm already on a magnesium drip. And I don't know, like, if you've ever been on a mag drip, you feel, like, loopy. Like, it was so hard for me to focus. And I had already been on that mag drip for like, I don't know, 12, 15 hours at this point. And it was hard to focus. It was hard for me to like look at my phone, look at a TV. It was, oh, it was terrible. So, you know, they come, they get me, they put me in the helicopter. And, you know, like if you've ever rode in a helicopter, it's packed in there. So, they wheel me in through the back where it like barely scan, like the roof of the helicopter barely scans over my face, and I'm laying there and I'm just like, I'm praying and I'm singing like praise songs. And they were like, oh, it's only like a 40-minute flight from Hobbs to Lubbock. So I'm like, okay. And my blood pressure was being read every 15 minutes. So I'm like, okay, that's how I kept track of how much longer we had, like every time my blood pressure would go off. And, yeah, so I'm just like, I'm just laying there singing, praying. And I eventually opened my eyes because I just closed my eyes the whole time. And I eventually opened my eyes and everywhere around me is like white. And I was like, what the heck happened? Like, where are we? You know? But come to find out, we were on the roof of the hospital. So I didn't even know that we had landed, which is great. So there was that. And they didn't have to treat me in the air. And yeah, so it was a good flight. So we get there and they wheel me in to the labor and delivery floor. It's the emergency labor and delivery floor. And the lady comes in, or the nurse comes in, and she's like, okay, you need to eat something, because once we start you on these medications, then you're probably not going to want to eat. And especially with you being on the mag, like, what's going to happen is you usually get nauseous and you throw up, and we don't want that. So Matt went and got me food. I didn't even eat it all. And they started me on whatever medicine it was. So there we were. Then once that medicine, I had taken that medicine, I did it like, I took like 4 pills. I don't know. I can't remember. But then they started me on Pitocin to like start my labor. And then this is where it gets like all kind of crazy. They started me on Pitocin and I am drugged like big time. So I'm just sleeping and I'm waking up just about every hour. Because every time I woke up, I would look at Matt and I'm like, hey, what time is it? And he's like, why do you keep asking? And I'm like, I don't know. It's because I don't know. I just kept asking what time it was. And, you know, nurses come in and my blood pressure is being read. And then I can hear when it's like going off and it's high because it makes like a certain noise. But also I'm drugged, so I can't even. And then like the magnesium, like you can't. It makes you feel heavy, so like rolling over like onto one side or the other side, I was having to have Matt help me because I couldn't like get myself to move over. So they were doing all of that and they're like taking my blood, like every 4 hours they're doing blood work on me. And at one point the nurse comes in and she's like, so your blood work came back. And I was like, oh yeah, how was it? And she was like, it's not good. She's like, you are very sick and you have HELLP syndrome. She's like, it's very rare to have HELLP syndrome, but you're like the third person this week that's came in with it. So we have seen it before and we can treat it, you know? I didn't know what HELLP syndrome was. I've never even heard of it until then. And of course, I'm still drugged up, so I have no idea. I can't look it up, you know, whatever, which is a really good thing because I looked it up a couple of days ago. And the mortality rate for HELLP syndrome is 40% for the mom and for the baby. So I'm glad I didn't know that because then my blood pressure would have gone up again. But I think Matt knew that because I remember waking up a couple of times and he's just holding my hand on the side of the bed. He's praying for me, holding my hand like while I'm asleep because I wake up and there he is just sitting there. He was great the whole time. You know, and what HELLP syndrome does is it affects your liver, your kidneys, your platelet count, and of course, your blood pressure. So, you know, I'm going through labor and I'm not dilating fast enough. I'm not, of course, my platelet count is low. So, they're telling me, like, you know, if we have to go the C-section route, like, there's a risk there because your platelet count is low. I'm like, okay, you know? I'm like, so what do we do? Because I'm not, I wasn't dilating fast enough. And they came in, they checked me. They were like, yeah, if you're not at a 7 by the time the doctor comes around again, then we're going to have to do a C-section. But there's that risk. And I'm like, okay. So, I'm just praying, like, God, just let me be at a 7. Let me be at a 7. Please just put me at a 7 so that way I can have this baby and we don't have to do that and, you know, whatever. And they come in, they check me a little while later, and I'm at an 8. So praise God for that, you know. He gave me more than what I had asked for. And then, so, like, there was that, and then I was like, okay, well, can I get an epidural? Because now I was like, oh, well, they were like, okay, you have to have a baby today, right? This is right before they found out that I was at 8. They were like, you have to have a baby today. Like, we have to have a baby today because you're getting sicker. And I'm like, okay, like, what do we do? You know, because you are saying that if I get a C-section, like, I could bleed out, basically, but I'm not dilating fast enough, so, like, what's the plan, you know? And then I'm, like, freaking drugged out of my mind still, because I can't, and so I'm, like, I can't even, like, think, you know? And so I'm, like, looking at Matt, and he's, like, we just gotta do what we gotta do, right? And I'm, like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, what else do we do? So I was like, if we have to do a C-section, I guess then that's what we're going to do. And the doctor and the nurse looked at each other like, that's a terrible idea, you know? And so the doctor goes, what about if we try to break your water one more time? And like, say that we've done everything that we have needed to do so that way we don't go and put you in a C-section without doing everything that we could do, right? Because, and I didn't know until afterward, but the second I told them that I was okay with getting a C-section, they should have started prepping me for surgery because of how high risk I was, which is crazy, right? So she was like, wait, let's not do that. That's not a great idea. Let's try something before we even get to that point. So she breaks my water, and I start feeling contractions, you know? And so I'm like, well, then they come in. Well, she breaks my water. They leave. About an hour later, they come in. They check me. I'm at an 8. Or, no, something like that. So they leave, whatever, they come back, I guess. And, you know, they check me. I'm still, like, at a 5. And then they're like, well, if you're not dilated to a 7 by the time she comes, then, you know, you're going to have to get that C-section. And I'm like, crap. Like, I don't want that, you know? So they leave. They come back. They check me. I'm at an 8. Thank the Lord. Even after, you know, like how I said, I was praying that, like, God, just let me be a 7. Please just let me be a 7. And he let me be an 8, which is great. So then I was like, okay, well, can I get the epidural? And the nurse was like, I don't know. We have to do your blood work again because your platelet count was so low and you can't get an epidural with a platelet count with below a certain number. I was like, okay, well then can we take my blood? Let's get this, you know, let's get this going. So she's like, okay, well, they take my blood, and I was like, well, how long is it going to take for the results to get back? And she was like, about 45 minutes. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm watching the clock, right? And she comes in and she's like, your blood work came back. And I was like, how was it? Because she didn't sound like hopeful, I guess. I was like, how was it? And she was like, you barely made the cutoff by one number. And as she's saying that, the anesthesiologist is coming in and they started prepping me to get the epidural. I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right? So they give me the epidural. It doesn't completely take in my left side, but that's okay because with whatever relief I had was the relief I had, and I was thankful for it. So I am, and like right after they gave me the epidural, it was like boom, 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 like within like an hour, I think I had the baby. So, and I'm like, I'm not able to push because, like I said, like I'm trying to hold myself up and I can't because I'm on that magnesium and it makes me feel heavy. So like Matt and the NICU nurse was like pushing me to help me push because I couldn't hold myself up. And Isaac comes out and he comes out screaming, which is another blessing because he was born at 31 weeks, 4 days. And at that point, their lungs are not completely developed. So, which is another good thing that in Hobbs, they gave me 2 steroid shots to help develop his lungs. So by the time that I had him, the steroid shots had already taken. And so he came out screaming. And you know, they lay him on me or whatever, and they're like, Mama, look at your baby. And I'm like, I can't hold myself up to look at him. But it was great. So then the NICU nurse goes and she takes him, or the doctor, and she takes him, and they, you know, they prep him, they put him in his little incubator and all that kind of stuff. And she looks at me before they wheel him out and she says, he's doing really well. And I was like, thank you, Lord, you know, because 31 weeks is early. It's 2 months early. And yeah, so they go, and then afterwards I was like, okay, can I eat now? And the nurse was like, actually, because you're on the magnesium, they don't want you to eat anything. You're on a clear liquid diet for the next 24 hours. but you can have a popsicle. And I was like, oh, I had a baby and I can have a popsicle. This is great. She's like, yeah, what kind do you want? So she goes and gets me a popsicle. And she was really nice. I really did like her. So then they moved me down to the antepartum floor. And let me tell you, when they moved me from that labor and delivery bed to the antepartum bed, it was like I laid in a cloud. It was amazing. That bed was the softest bed I have ever laid in, it felt like. Maybe because I had been on that labor and delivery bed for 2 days. And, it was terrible. I hated it. But, so all of that happened. And I can see, like, the little pockets of, like, where God provided, where he sustained, where he held us, where he, you know, he was God in all of those moments, like, you know, from the time we were in Hobbs, when they're like, oh, we're gonna send you home, and thank God they didn't send me home, you know. And then they get me to Lubbock and they start me on medicine, and even though I had HELLP syndrome, they were able to treat it fast, and I didn't have to have a C-section, and I was able to get my epidural, and all of those things. Like, it was just like little bitty things that had to line up perfectly for me to even be here right now to tell you about it, you know? And then after all that, you know, Isaac had to stay in the NICU for, we were there for 49 days, so a little over a month. And, you know, if you've ever been in the NICU, it doesn't matter how sick or not sick your baby is. I think it takes a toll on you, because even though he was doing well and all he needed was some oxygen, because of course he was premature and he was learning to eat and he was desatting and all this kind of stuff, he still needed oxygen. But all around us, there were people that were hurting even more, and it made me feel kind of guilty because he was doing so well, but also it made me feel thankful because he was doing so well, but also it made me feel empathy for the families that their babies weren't doing as well as him. But there were also babies that were doing way better than what he was, you know, so it's just kind of hard to sit there and hear all the stories and see everything going on, because there were times when babies were getting prepped to be flown out of Lubbock, and there were ones coming in being flown in, and there were ones that you know, were unexpected, and they had like the whole crew in a little room, and they're hooking them up to dialysis machines and breathing machines and like all sorts of stuff like that. And then there's ones that, you know, were hooked up to like brain wave machines because they were having seizures, or, you know, like ones were really sick where they had to, like, anybody that went in there had to wear gowns and masks and things like that. And there was one maybe who, you know, they have all sorts of different things going on. And, you know, sitting in there, you hear all of it. You hear all of it being talked about and everything. And I would text our prayer chain and say, like, I think we're supposed to pray for these kinds of things, because I'm sitting here hearing it all. And, you know, I think that's what we're supposed to do. Because the parents weren't always there whenever I was there, so I couldn't, like, talk to them. And you're really not supposed to walk around the NICU and just talk to everybody. So I would just hold my little boy and pray over him, pray over the staff, pray over the the babies that were in there. So, yeah, so we're there 49 days. He finally learned to eat. He finally ate enough. And then, and then the week before he got discharged, there was a tornado warning in Lubbock. So, there we were. They had just moved us to a different room. We were there maybe 15 minutes and they were like, okay, we gotta go back over here because we have the tornado warning. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he had peed all over himself. And so we needed clothes, but they were like, just wrap him because we don't have time. We gotta get over here. And so he's naked, wrapped up in this blanket. And we're sitting there, you know, because of the tornado warning. And like, because they moved every baby into like this middle area. And, you know, there were a lot of babies there without their parents because, I mean, it was like what? Like the middle of the afternoon. And it was like sobering almost because I'm like, oh my gosh, like if I weren't here, I would be freaking out right now. And, you know, I was like, I can't imagine like all of those parents knowing that their babies are here and they're not, you know, all their little incubators and those kind of things were just laying out in this hall and these babies are just laying in it, you know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it was a little scary. But thankfully my mother-in-law was there because I even looked at her one time and I was like, thank you for being here because I would be freaking out right now. You know, so yeah. But then, you know, we made it through that because it didn't hit us. It just got a lot of rain. And that, like, next Tuesday, we were getting discharged. And it was, I walked in one morning to see him, and the nurse was like, we don't have a feeding tube. And I was like, oh, we don't have a feeding tube. And then I looked at him and I was like, oh my gosh, you're so much cuter without all the tubes on your face. And of course, you know, I'm crying. And they were like, oh, you know, whatever. And they were like, yeah, he's probably gonna get to go home tomorrow. And I was like, okay, like you just need your car seat. So I call Matt, he brings me the car seat, and he passes the car seat challenge or whatever they want to call it. And next day we walk in and they have everything packed up for us and they're doing their final assessments on him and they're like, yeah, he's doing good, he can go home. So we came home and let me tell you, even though he was in the NICU for however long, 49 days, getting home, like, we still had to establish a routine and we're still trying to get into it because he likes what he likes. So, but it's been good. It's been really good. And we've had a lot of support and a lot of people who check in and care and all that kind of stuff. So it's been good. But I'm saying all this because as, you know, I was going through all of that and going through, even being in the NICU, like, there are so many ways that I just seen God work and move and provide, you know, even just like sitting there in the NICU, like, and he'd be crying or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with him. Like, why is he crying? Why is his heart rate going up? Why is his oxygen dropping? And then it would be like, it like stopped, it would like subside and like, he would be like normal, you know? And I'm like, there you are, God, again, you know. Or like I said, the whole birthing story, there were so many things that he just showed me through it all. And I've really learned throughout this whole experience, now that I am a mom, which is crazy to think, that I really learned what reliance looks like, and my faith has been stretched and challenged and all of those things. And, you know, a lot of times, too, Matt would have to remind me, like, do you trust that God is going to take care of him? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, then you've got to believe that. You've got to truly believe that. And I'm like, I do believe it. But I was in my own head about it all. Or he would tell me, like, you know, you've got to trust that your body's going to be able to take care of you. And, you know, God's wired you for this. And, you know, Matt was a really big encourager through it all, because he, like I said, he would pray and he would remind me that, you know, God is sitting right here with us. It's not like he left us or that he's going to just abandon the fact that that we need him, you know. So yeah, that's the story. And I'm really surprised I didn't cry telling it, because I feel like every time I talk about it, I cry. But like I said, God has been so good through it all. And now we have our little boy, who is sitting here with his dad, and when he was born, he was 3 pounds 6 ounces. Today he weighs 7 pounds 9 ounces as of the last time that we went to the doctor. So he's growing and he's, you know, doing really well, and we are too. So all I have to say, we can trust God even when it's scary, and we can be scared and also know that he's going to provide. And we just gotta rest in the fact that he is God and we are not, and he is good, and he's gonna make everything work out for us in the end, whether it be earth side or heaven side. So that is all I have for this episode. I'm hoping that it brought you some type of encouragement, and that you, your faith would be strengthened by it. I don't tell you my birthing story to be like, oh, poor, poor, pitiful me, but truly because I want you to see that there's the goodness of God through it all. So yeah, till next time, my friends.